Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are so blessed that you're listening each week to these programs. We would love to have you join us in person on Sunday morning. We meet at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91701. If you can't join us in person, you could join us on our live stream. You can chat, offer up prayers, worship, and grow in grace. Our website is www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. And click on the live stream, 9 a.m. Sunday morning, Pacific time. We're looking at Reformation Sunday coming up, and I'm going to talk about a topic called Reformation Faith, the Mystery of Faith. Martin Luther had a passion for God, and he wanted that passion to reform the Catholic Church at that time. The call of this Reformation was sola scriptura, scripture alone, sola fide, faith alone, sola gratia, grace alone. Martin Luther, Ulrich Zwingli, John Calvin, and John Knox, well, they were some of the important 16th century reformers. Today, I'd like to take some time to reflect on John Calvin. John Calvin was born July 10th in 1509 in Nyon, France. Martin Luther was 25 years old and just had begun to teach the Bible at Wittenberg Castle, or Wittenberg. When Calvin was 14, his father sent him to the University of Paris to study theology. 5 years later, his father had problems with the church and told his son to study law. In 1531, at the age of 21, Calvin's father died and he went back to study in theology. By 1533, Calvin joined in the Reformation and he was exiled from France by King Francis I. Calvin became a prolific writer for the Reformation, and in 1536, in Basel, Switzerland, Calvin published the first edition of his very famous work called The Institutes of Christian Religion. Calvin spent the rest of his life in Geneva, Switzerland, reforming the church and the city. What was the foundation of Calvin's faith? What was that foundation that yielded a life devoted utterly to displaying the glory and the mystery of God? Well, the answer, Calvin saw and tasted in Scripture the majesty of God. Calvin said, quote, "The majesty of God is the ground of our confidence in His Word." Let me say that again and ponder those words. The majesty of God is the ground of our confidence in His Word. One such verse that helped to change Calvin's life is our Old Testament reading for today. It is the story of Moses' encounter with God in the burning bush. This story is filled with many living illustrations of God's majesty. Before we go to God's Word, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God Almighty, You are majestic and full of glory. Manifest Your glory and Your grace as we open Your Word today. May we see the majesty of You and let our confidence be in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, 1 through 15. If you don't have a Bible, email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. We'll get you a Bible. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When he had brought up the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. That is Exodus chapter 3, 1 through 15. What a powerful story. One of the most interesting characters of the Bible, I find, is Moses. Many of us picture Moses as Charlton Heston in the movie The Ten Commandments. The story of Moses is told in the books of Exodus through Deuteronomy. He is also mentioned in the book of Acts and Hebrews. Many scholars credit Moses with writing the first five books of the Bible. This passage is filled with many powerful biblical themes that occur over and over throughout the canon of Scripture. There are close encounters with the Holy God, an angel's appearance, and God calling from a burning bush, God's intervention into history to remedy human oppression and suffering, and the call of an individual as a servant and messenger. We could talk about theophany. A theophany is God appearing in a burning bush, or what it's like to be standing on holy ground. We could spend days upon days talking and thinking about who God is and the name of God revealed in this passage, I am who I am. We could talk about how God speaks to us and calls us into different ministries with him, God-sized courage or God-sized comfort. 2 points for this Reformation message are faith's call and faith's courage. Faith's call. Let's talk about that for just a moment. God's call is majestic. God's call is mysterious. God's call is marvelous. Has God been talking to you lately? That's a good question. Has God been talking to you lately? God followed Moses around in the wilderness for 40 years when Moses was tending his father-in-law's sheep. Moses was on the far side of the wilderness when God called him. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you've been wandering, but I know that God knows where you're at, and be ready for God to speak to you. God followed John Calvin around the University of Paris while he studied theology and law for 10 years. God chased me around the family GMC business and Goodyear tire stores for 10 years before I finally heard his call. In 1992, my wife and I talked about changing careers and going to seminary. We decided that we would wait until 1997 when our youngest daughter, Jody, would graduate from high school. We said that the only way we could consider going earlier is if some seminary called up and offered me a full scholarship. We took out a blank piece of paper and signed the bottom of the page. We asked God to fill in the blanks. Wow, did God fill in the blanks? In January of 1994, 3.5 years before our target date, the dean of Dubuque Theological Seminary called and said, Dave, we've been praying for you for the past year and a half, and we want to know if you'll come to seminary if we give you a full scholarship. My burning bush was a blank piece of paper and a burning phone call on a dark winter's night in Illinois. What is your burning bush? Where is God calling you? Reformation faith is listening for God's call. Reformation faith is having the courage to step out in faith. Let me say that again. Reformation faith is the courage to step out in faith, to answer God's call in our lives and say, "Here I am, Lord." One of my favorite actors was John Wayne. I must like John Calvin and John Wayne. John Wayne had a great comment on courage. He said, quote, "Courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway." Courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. I am sure that Martin Luther was afraid when he nailed the 95 questions on the door of the Wittenberg Castle. I am sure that John Calvin was afraid when he wrote his Institutes and spoke out against the King of France. Yet in these calls, God filled them with courage equal to the task they were being called to. They had God-sized courage in the great I Am, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God said, "I am who I am. I am is sending you. I am going to be with you." Knowing the I Am gave Luther and Calvin courage. Knowing I Am will give us God-sized courage too. For the Israelites, let's just talk for just a moment about the Israelites. For the Israelites who walked with God through the wilderness, they learned to put their faith in one who performed miracle after miracle for them. They would walk or worship and sing psalms. Listen again to verse 4 and 5 of Psalm 105. "Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he's pronounced." What were the wonders that they saw? They saw their enemies swallowed up in the Red Sea. They saw water pouring forth from a rock and bread falling from heaven. They saw the Lord rain down quail upon them so they could eat meat. They even saw the sun stand still. They saw the mouth of lions stopped and fiery flames that could not consume them, those who committed their lives to God. They even saw the dead raised by the prophet and the oil pouring forth from an empty can. Over and over again, they saw the wonders of the one and only God. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Kishon Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. If you have a prayer concern, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer link and write your prayer. We will respond and pray for you. We've seen some wonderful healing and miracles in prayer. God wants to hear our prayers. We've been talking about the Israelites seeing so many miracles. They sang psalms. If you read the book of Psalms, the Psalms are filled with some of the wonderful miracles, and they wanted to remember what God had done. They wanted to sing of the one and only God. They wanted to sing how great God's faithfulness to them was. In the New Testament, the early church saw miracle after miracle too. The blind were given sight, the deaf could hear, the mute could talk, the lame could walk, lepers were healed, and the sick were healed. 5,000 plus were fed with a few loaves of bread and some fish. Jesus walked on water and calmed a storm at sea. Jesus raised the dead back to life, not once, but three times, but twice before he did it again on the day of his crucifixion. Can you imagine living in those times? Faith was real and present. Jesus walked among them, and they witnessed his wonders and his miracles. Yet some never came to put their faith in him. George Frederick Handel, the great musician, lost his health. His right side was paralyzed, his money was gone, and his creditors seized and threatened to imprison him. Handel was so disheartened by his tragic experience that he almost despaired. But his faith prevailed, and he composed his greatest work, the Hallelujah Chorus, which is part of his great Messiah. Oh, do not despair when your life is in downward spiral. It is your adversity that your faith muscles will be made strongest. That's what he wrote. He wrote, and I'm going to say it again because I kind of messed it up. He said, which is part of the great Messiah. He said, oh, do not despair when your life is in a downward spiral. It is in your adversity that your faith muscles will be made the strongest. The Apostle John wrote, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. What is the victory? The victory that overcomes the world is our faith. The Apostle Paul wrote these words, "For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Our faith is the victory that will help us to overcome the trials in the world. Our faith is how we are called to live from first to last. Another Old Testament reading comes from the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a contemporary of Jeremiah, and his ministry was to the southern kingdom of Judah before it fell to the power of Babylon in 586 BC. One of Habakkuk's main themes was a message of hope so that the people would live by faith and to trust in the sovereignty of God. Let us listen to the prophet Habakkuk and hear God's words of hope for us today. Boy, do we need hope in our day. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it, for there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by faith." Let us look real quick at the book of Hebrews, too. The faith chapter, or faith or faithfulness, was a central concern of the author of Hebrews. The word faith, or pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S, in Greek, is used more in this letter than any other book of the New Testament. Here in chapter 11, the word faith is used 24 times in 40 verses. The entire chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews, is focused on what has occurred by faith throughout the history of God's people. Some scholars call chapter 11 the faith chapter, or the heroes of faith, or the honor roll of the Old Testament saints, or the Saints Hall of Faith. Whatever you want to call chapter 11, you need to know that it is all about faith. If you're looking for some faith, go turn to chapter 11 of Hebrews. Let's listen for the first three verses. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understood that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things which are not visible." Did you know there was a missionary family? They were back visiting some friends in the States. When the missionary children were called in for dinner, my mother said, "Be sure to wash your hands." And the little boy scowled and said, "Germs and Jesus, germs and Jesus. This is all I hear, and I've never seen either one of them." Well, faith is like that. Heard a lot about it, but it's hard to see. Our writer of Hebrews gives us a twofold definition of faith. Listen again. Verse 1. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen." The word assurance is the first definition of the word of faith, and the conviction is the second. The words assurance and conviction, well, they're difficult words to translate into English from the original Greek. The Greek word for assurance comes from two Greek words, which are combined together into one word, which is the Greek word hypostasis, which means a setting under. What is this church setting under? What is your life setting under? That's what it basically is saying. What are you setting under? Literally, the church is setting under a concrete slab that we worship in, a foundation. Faith is the foundation of what we hope for. What the writer is trying to say is that faith is the solid ground upon which everything else is built. True faith is the absolute assurance of things the world cannot see. In Old Testament times, men and women had to rest on the promises of God. God had promised them a coming Messiah, a deliverer who would take away their sins. God told them over and over again that one day all Israel will be made clean and be ruled by the righteous Messiah. I encourage you to read chapter 11 of Hebrews this week. Listen again to the stories of the Old Testament saints who lived by faith. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, and Moses, and many more. Faith is a living hope that is so real that it gives absolute assurance. Next, it's a conviction. The second word describing faith is translated evidence or conviction, depending on your translation. This inward conviction enables the believers to believe things not yet seen, that God will perform and that God has promised. There's a story told of the captain of a ship on which George Mueller of Bristol was traveling. Mueller was a man who had several children's homes and depended on God alone to provide for them. During his lifetime, he received more than £1 million from the Lord, all without advertising. Every penny came as an answer to prayer. Well, this is the story. "We had George Mueller, Bristol, aboard," said the captain. "I'd been on the bridge for 24 hours and never left it, and George Mueller came to me and said, 'Captain, I have come to tell you that we must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon.' 'It is impossible,' the captain said. 'Then very well, if your ship cannot take me, God will find some other way. I have never broken an engagement in 57 years, so let us go down into the chart room and pray.' I looked at the man of God and thought to myself, 'What lunatic asylum can that man have come from? But I never heard of such a thing as this.' 'Mr. Mueller,' I said, 'do you know how dense this fog is?' 'No,' he replied, 'my eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life.' He knelt down and he prayed one of the simplest prayers. When he had finished, I was going to pray, but he put his hand on my shoulder and told me not to pray. 'As you do not believe, he will answer. And as I believe he has, there is no need whatever for you to pray about.' I looked at him and George Mueller said, 'Captain, I have known the Lord for 57 years, and there has never been a single day when I have not failed to get an audience with the king. Get up, Captain, and open the door, and you'll find that the fog is gone.' I got up, and the fog indeed was gone." Wow. And that Saturday afternoon, George Mueller kept his engagement. That, my friends, is a conviction that only faith can bring. Mueller said, "My eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life." So my question is, what are your eyes upon today? What are your eyes upon? Are they upon your troubles and tribulations, on your finances and failures, your fears and your worries? Faith is the evidence, the convictions of things not seen. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. Faith is the foundation that sets under everything else we do in our lives. By faith, Moses followed God, the great I am. By faith, Martin Luther nailed his 95 questions on the door of the Wittenberg Castle. By faith, John Calvin wrote his Institutes and stood up to the King of France. By faith, Handel wrote the Hallelujah Chorus. By faith, George Mueller never missed an appointment and received £1 million through prayer to run his orphanages. By faith, how do you live? Habakkuk tells us that the righteous live by faith. If it seems to tarry, wait. It will not delay. So what for us today? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For what are you and I hoping for? What are we hoping for? What are you hoping for? Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we want to live by faith. We want to have a reformation faith that reforms our lives. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand and a mind to understand what you're calling us to do. Speak to us of the wondrous and mighty miracles and mysteries of your majesty. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed week. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine graciously upon you each and every day. God loves you. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you. And so do we.